wonderful, amazing talents we have amongst us. Who's good at puzzles? Who likes puzzles? I like jigsaw puzzles, but I've got a different puzzle, not a jigsaw puzzle today. This one is one where I want you to find the link. This morning the question is, find the link between the drama that we've just seen, the story we've seen outplayed, and some photos that I'm going to show you this morning. These photos weren't taken by me, but as these photos come up, what we want you to do is to think, as these photos are displayed, what's the link between these photos and this drama that we've just seen? Let's have the first photo up. Just a few seconds on each one. There's one photo. Move on to the next one. Okay, as these photos are going through, you think, right, what's the link between these photos and between that drama that we've just seen outplayed? What is it? What's the link? I can see all the little grey cells buzzing away. Not sure, aren't we? Not sure. Last one coming up. Okay, think. Now, there was the several images there. There were six images. And what's the link between those six images and the drama that we've just seen played out? The link, of course, is to do with the location. Anyone know the location of those pictures? Berlin, let's just go through. The first picture was of the Holocaust Memorial. Let's have the first picture up again, please, in Berlin. That's the first one. It's in the center of Berlin. Second one is an image of one of the German parliament buildings. Third one is of on the crossings in East Berlin. You see this lovely man with a hat on there. And then the next image is of the dome on the Reichstag. The next one is the iconic TV tower in Berlin. And finally, the Brandenburg Gate. So each one of these is an image you may see as you go around Berlin. So what's the link then between this city and between the drama that we've just seen played out? It's a very tangible link. Anyone know what it is? Any ideas? No, it's not that. Okay, I'll give you a clue. If you visit Berlin and you visit part of Berlin called Museum Island, on Museum Island there's five museums. It's a World Heritage Site. And if you visit those five museums, in one of the museums, in the Pergamon Museum, there's something that's 2,500 years old. And this is it. This is a picture of it. I'll just show you here. This is a picture of the Ishtar Gate. So this gate is in the museum, the museum called the Pergamon Museum, in the center of Berlin. And the thing that's remarkable about this gate and what links to the story today is this gate was built by Nebuchadnezzar. So 2,500 years ago, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, he built this gate, this Ishtar Gate. And it's located now, as you can see, in Berlin. And the amazing thing to think about, this king who so prominently features in the book of Daniel, if as you go through the gate arch, there's an inscription, not that any of us could read the inscription because it's in Babylonian, but translated, this is what it says. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, on that gate you go through, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, I made bricks of blue stone with wonderful bulls and dragons depicted. I placed wild bulls, ferocious dragons in the gateways and thus adorned them with luxurious splendor so the people may gaze on them in wonder. As we read through Daniel, he is the greatest king, perhaps, of the ancient world. He built many splendid buildings, including this gate. Of course, originally, the gate and the rest of the wall, they were considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Decades ago, German archaeologists went to Babylon, so in modern-day Iraq. They excavated the bricks, because obviously it was all demolished. They excavated those blue bricks, those blue and gold bricks, and they brought them back to Berlin, and it's been reconstructed into that gate. Now, we're going to come back to the gate a little bit later, the end of our story, so look out, watch out for the Ishtar Gate. Now, for those of you who just come back from holiday, over the past two Sundays, we've been looking at God's faithfulness. And we saw in the first week that faithfulness was part of God's character. It's who he is. God's trust. He's revealed himself as someone who's trustworthy. You can trust God. He's revealed himself as someone who's depend- dependable. You can rely on him. He's consistent. He's not flaky. He's always there for us. God will not let us down. The Bible tells us that God is a faithful God. In Deuteronomy 7 verse 9, we see this verse. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God." It's his character. It's who he is. It's what marks him out. It's what characterizes the kind of God who is our God. He will not let his people down. He's dependable and constant. And last week we saw that throughout the Old Testament, there was like a story running of how we can trust God. We can depend on God. God is there as a dependent, consistent one for each one of us. Now this week, the story that we've just seen outplayed, I just wanted to focus on it briefly this morning, just to see the faithfulness of God to his people again. And of course, it starts in the book of Daniel. Got a picture to start off with this morning. And this is a picture of see if you can recognize the actors this morning. Are we going to see here? This is a picture of, it's either Nick or Joe this was. We have to decide which one later. But he's reading out the proclamation that King Nebuchadnezzar has given. And he decided, of course, to make this huge statue, force everyone in the kingdom to bow down. And here is the announcement being made. The announcement is being given out. When you hear the music, everyone must bow down. Of course, this statue made was of wood with gold covered and overlaid on the top. In fact, so much gold that I've got my wedding ring on today. It's a gold ring. It's a tiny bit of gold. It's unimaginable. None of us would have seen. This statue was 90 to 100 feet tall. Now, I'm 6 foot, so imagine 15 of me, if that's not too much of a terrible thought, but imagine 15 of me stacked on top of each other. So it wouldn't just have reached to the ceiling, it would have reached to the ceiling maybe 2 or 3 times higher than the ceiling. What an incredible thing, and it was overlaid with gold. This statue is truly, truly amazing. It was incredible, and it was placed on an open plain outside the city of Babylon. City of Babylon, of course, had these walls. We've just seen one of the gates. We said the walls around the city of Babylon. Out on the plain, this statue was erected so that everyone for miles and miles and miles could see this statue 90 to 100 feet tall. Now, the king's plan, of course, was when the music was heard, everyone had to bow down and fall down and worship the statue, or else the king would kill you. Simple plan, if a brutal one. But Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego knew that God had commanded them to worship him alone, the true God, and not any idols. So they refused to do what the king commanded. They refused to fit in. Here's everyone else. The music sounded. Everyone else is on their face. But these three are refusing to fit in with everyone else. Hundreds of thousands of people were doing one thing. They were bowing down. They were worshiping. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not. They were in the minority. They were in the tiny minority. Everyone else just fitted in. And as Christians, we're often in the minority. We might be in the minority at school, if you're at school, or at college, or at work, or amongst your neighbours. But often as Christians, you're probably in the minority. It's not been easy. It can't have been easy for these three, as everyone else is doing one thing which they know's wrong, they're turning around and doing something else. It's not easy being in the minority. And God called these three to stand up and be different. And God's calling us to be stand up and be different in our time. In Nebuchadnezzar's time, some of these astrologers or these advisors, they weren't happy that they weren't fitting in. They wanted to make their life hard. They came up with a plan to tell the king how these Jews were worshipping a different God. And here they are, here these advisors are telling Nebuchadnezzar about these followers of God and what they were doing. They said, here are some Jews whom you set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They pay no attention to your king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you set up. See, those who aren't Christians sometimes make it hard for those who follow God. It happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we have to be prepared that sometimes those around us can make it be hard to follow Jesus. We've got to be prepared for that. If you're starting a new school next week or the week after, or a new college or a new university or a new place of work, take courage from what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Get strength from God so that we can stand up against everyone who doesn't follow God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was very angry with these three, and he summoned them to explain themselves. Now, they could have compromised. What they could have said was, well, I'll bow down on the outside, but on the inside, I'll remain true to God. Or they could have compromised and said, well, I'll bow down now, but then I'll go and ask God to forgive me later on. But they didn't compromise. That's the thing we see with these three. It's these three followers of God didn't compromise. Even when it was tough, even when it was standing out from the crowd, even when it meant being different, everyone else was doing one thing, they didn't compromise. Sometimes God's will isn't the easy option. They didn't think, well, God's will must be the easy path. They didn't think that. Sometimes following God means we're not popular at school or popular at work. Other people may be doing things against God and it may be hard. Sometimes following God means we may need to speak up and refuse to do things. A number of years ago, I worked for a computer company, and the boss of my boss in the computer company asked me to copy some software rather than the computer company buy the software cheaper if you just copy it. So he asked me to copy it. And so I refused. I said, as gracious way as I could, but I was very nervous about standing up and saying no because of my Christian faith. Don't want to do this. Sometimes God asks us to stand up and be different. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found strength in God to be able to do that. Sometimes it can be tough to follow God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, of course, in the story, he threatened that if they must worship the statue or else the fiery furnace. There he is making his threats. Their reply of these three showed incredible trust in God. They refused because they knew that obeying God was the most important thing. They believed God had the power to rescue them out of the fiery furnace, but they knew that God was faithful. And they said, even if he doesn't rescue us, we're refusing to bow down. They weren't telling God how he was going to answer their prayers. They demonstrated faith in two ways. Firstly, they demonstrated faith in the power of God. They believed that God had the power to rescue them. But secondly, they had faith in the will of God. If it wasn't God's will to deliver them in that time, then they were not willing to compromise. They were wanting God to get the credit through giving their lives in serving him. Faith is believing that God can do something, but leaving the outcome to him. These three could have thought, hang on, here we are doing the right thing and things are getting worse and worse and worse. Have you ever felt that? I'm trying to follow God and things just seem to be getting worse and worse, not better and better. We have to be prepared that when we follow God, it might take things to get worse before they get better. We have to trust God even when the devil turns up the heat. To make sure they couldn't escape, of course, he tied their hands. They had their clothes on, so they had plenty of stuff to burn as they were thrown into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, he demanded that the furnace be turned, heated 7 times hotter. The strongest soldiers in Babylon threw them in. They died as they threw these three men into the flames. And of course, as we've just seen in the drama, as the three were thrown into the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar watched to make sure they were burnt up. And he was amazed because he didn't see three in the fire. He saw four. Jesus was walking with them in the midst of the fire. Jesus met them in the place that was the hottest. Jesus met them in the place that was the hardest, in the midst of the fire. Jesus meets us in the midst of our trials and difficulties. So when they walked out of the fire, they were totally unharmed. Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. He changed his attitude towards God, as we saw Chris so aptly illustrate for us. He paid tribute. He said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel, protected his servants. They trusted him, defied the king's command, were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. I want to finish this morning by going back to the Ishtar Gate. I wonder if we have a picture of our Ishtar Gate. Now, just over a week ago, I walked through that gate there. I walked through that gate. And the thing about that gate is it's huge. It's just a huge gate. And you can touch the tiles. I don't know whether you're supposed to touch the tiles. You can touch the tiles. You could touch the blue tiles and the gold tiles. You can see it with your eyes. And as I walked through that gate, the thing that struck me is that as I walked through that gate, Nebuchadnezzar, this was the gate to the inner part of the city of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar would have walked through that gate, 2,500, that same gate, that very gate. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego would have walked through that very gate. You see, sometimes when we read stories in the Bible, and it's a great story, and we've seen it acted out, and it's got a lot of drama to it, and it's got a lot of impact to it. But actually, when you see the historical reality of this thing, you see, it's not just a story, it's an amazing testimony. As we read in Scripture, as I walk through that gate, you realize this is history, this happened. What's accounted in Scripture historically happened. These three, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, walked through that very gate 2,500 years before I did. And they were taken to that fiery furnace and God delivered them. And so that amazing testimony we look at in Scripture, it's an encouragement to us. It's an encouragement that God would deliver us. God is faithful. God is faithful to his people. I was excited by the gate, not because of its archaeological significance, because it impressed on me, this is true, this is real. God is the same God and is faithful to us today. We all experience heat in our lives at different times. Of course, the heat doesn't come from a fiery furnace, but it comes from challenges. It could be challenges to our health. I know a number of people in the church have been sick or are still sick. Challenges to our health could be through our jobs, either not getting a job, trying to get a job, or struggling with work with different issues. Through school or college, family or friends, we each of us, if not now, we will face a furnace at some time. It can be hard to follow God, but in the midst of these trials, we find that God is with us. And just as he was present with the three, his presence is with us when we go through trials. And sometimes he doesn't save us right out of the trials immediately. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego weren't prevented from going into the flames. Jesus didn't appear before they went in the flames and stopped them going in. They went in and then he met them in the flames. And it may seem right now that the things that you're going through may seem like those flames. But Jesus met those people in the fire, in the flames. And he delivered them and he took them out. Wouldn't it be fantastic if as we go through trials, other people like Nebuchadnezzar saw what happened and gave praise to God. Nebuchadnezzar saw what happened to God's people in a trial and he gave praise to God. Wouldn't it be fantastic if people around us see as we go through trials, see how God works in our lives and give praise to God? Let's close our eyes for a moment. Jesus, thank you so much that you came in the midst of those flames and you met those three followers, your followers. And today, Lord, for each of us in the trials that we face, there may be little trials, there may be huge, flaming, fiery furnaces. God, would you meet us? Jesus, would you meet us in those trials and difficulties? Jesus, we're asking today, would you please come and meet us? Would you rescue us and bring us through these things? Just while we're quiet, I wonder if the musicians could come back, please, to the front. Now we're gonna worship and just focus on this. The children have got opportunity to move over to that side of the hall where there's an activity for flame age children. So if you're flame age, if you're primary children, if you want to go over to that side of the hall, there's an activity.